Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Father, we thank you today for your blessings, for all that you've done for us, Father. Father, as we share the word today, I pray, Father, that you'd give me an anointing, Father, in my spirit to deliver the message, Father, as you've laid it upon my heart. I give you praise, for I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of today's message is today the day? Is today the day? Jesus, almost 2,000 years ago, speaking to his disciples, just a short time before his crucifixion, said these words to his disciples in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. He said this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know." A few days later, Jesus was crucified on that old rugged cross on a hill called Mount Calvary. Then, after 3 days, he was resurrected from the dead. And 40 days after Passover, after his resurrection, he was taken back up into the heavens. And there in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, two angels make this statement. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." I want you to think about that. A few days earlier, well, roughly 40 days earlier, Jesus had spoken to them and said, "I'm going to go away for a while. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place that you can be with me. You can be with me in my Father's house. There's lots of room. There's plenty of places there for you." And I know the King James translates the word mansions from the Hebrew, from the Greek. Many other translations say dwelling places. But whatever it is, he's preparing something beyond our imagination for us, that we can dwell with him for all eternity. I want you to think about that for a moment. Right now, Jesus is preparing a place for you and I. It's getting it ready. Then as he ascended into the heaven 40 days after his resurrection, the angels basically repeat, "Hey, why are you standing here staring? Get out and do what he told you to do, because he's coming back." Well, then you skip ahead a few days to the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover. And there we hit the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room in Jerusalem. And after that took place in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Peter comes down to the street from the upper room with those who were in attendance, and he preaches the first sermon of what would become the Christian church. And as he preaches this message, souls are convicted. 3,000, it said, are saved that day from that sermon that Peter preached there in the streets of Jerusalem. So let's just kind of recap a bit, just a moment here before we go on. Jesus had been preaching about 3 years, and roughly a day before he's taken and crucified, he tells the disciples that he must go away, and that as he goes away, he's going to prepare a place for them, and that he will come back, and that he will take them to be with him. Then 40 days after his resurrection, he ascends back up into the heavens, and two angels tell the disciples that he's going to come back the same way that he went up. The scripture reads that he was ascended up into the clouds, and the scripture also tells us he's coming back in clouds. That day is coming. Well, here we sit, or stand, whichever your case may be, and it's roughly 2,000 years later. The church has overall, let me put it overall, because there's been some times that the church has somewhat failed the people. Some of the leaders of the church, I should say, has failed the people who make up the church. Maybe we ought to narrow it down to what has become the organized church has sometimes failed the people. But here we are, almost 2,000 years later. I'm sure as the disciples went about, they let it be known, hey, Jesus said he's going to prepare a place for us, and we're going to go be with him someday. The angels told us, hey, he's coming back in like manner. He's coming again, folks. And the message was preached in the early church. And I sincerely believe that those who attended the early church believed it could be any time, it could be any day. I believe they were expecting it to happen in their lifetime. They were waiting for the day, for the hour, for the moment that Jesus would come again. And we're still waiting, almost 2,000 years later. How many of you, I might ask, have heard it preached that Jesus is coming again? I know when I was growing up, I heard it almost every week. And I know I've talked to other people or heard them talk about it, and I know I had it happen to me. Sometimes you got convicted every time you went to church and you went to the altar and prayed through again. But I want to really know, how often do we hear the message, Jesus is coming again? Do we hear the true message of the gospel as Jesus set it forth to his disciples? There's some churches that preach Jesus is coming again, but quite honestly, I think they're relatively few in number that say Jesus is coming again. You need to be ready. It could be any day, it could be any moment, it could be any hour. We just don't hear it that much. Oh, we hear a lot of things, how to make our life better, how to make more money, how to be a better person, a lot of other things that increase and improve our social life. But what is it doing to increase and improve our spiritual life? As I said, from the time of the beginning of the early church and the message they preached, sometimes the message preached was corrupted. Along the line, some people preached, oh, everything that was written in the entire scripture has all been fulfilled, already was taken care of by the end of the first century AD. And we're living now, you know, yeah, maybe someday Jesus will come set up a kingdom, but all this other stuff, it's already happened. You don't need to worry about it. Just go on and live your life. Various tweaks, you might say, have been put on it. Really false doctrine is what it should be called, have been put on some of the gospel that's been preached. Along the road, though, some have held to the promise that Jesus said, hey, I'm coming back. I'm coming for you. I'm going to prepare a place and I'm coming to get you. And I know some say, oh, well, you know, someday I'll die. I'm a Christian. I'll go to be in heaven then. But the Bible teaches there's going to be that glorious moment, that blessed hope, that Jesus is going to come back and he's going to take the Christians out of this world, and we're going to be with him for eternity. Then we're going to come back at the end of a seven-year tribulation and rule with him for 1,000 years. And then it says in the very last part of the book of Revelation, then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and we are going to reign with God, with Jesus, forever and forever, for all eternity. But a lot now say, oh, that's just an allegory. That's just, something they said. And others are teaching, well, Jesus can't come back right now because we've got to get this mess cleaned up. You know, and I can kind of understand what they're saying a little bit, because most people, if you've got somebody coming that's important, you want to have a clean house and a clean place and make it look as best as you can. Now, I know sometimes there are some people that, hey, they don't care which way it goes. But basically, most people want to have everything cleaned up if they're having especially an important guest that's coming. And so some are teaching, we've got to get this mess straightened up, and then, when we've got it all taken care of, Jesus can come back. But we've got to take care of it for him. And there's nothing in the scripture that says that's the way it is. It is not dependent on what we do or say. Well, Jesus, again speaking in the Gospel of Mark, says, but of that, in Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37, he says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. He's giving us an important job to do there. Watch. Jesus is coming. Watch. Be on the lookout. Be at your post. Be the watchman that he called you to be. But the question is the church watching today? And I want to remind you of one thing when I say the church. The church is not the buildings. The church is not the real estate. The church is not the organization. The church is the people. It is the believers. It is those who are part of the body of Christ. But are we being watchful? Are we paying attention to the duties that he spoke to us to do? Do we really live like this could be the day that Jesus comes? Or do we live like it's still in the far distant future? And as I look around at the church world today, it seems to me like most believe it's in the far distant future. Not something that's going to happen in my lifetime. Now I want to share something with you here, and I've shared it before, I know. But when I was called into the ministry, when I was 14 years of age, God called me to be a last days preacher. Those were his words to me. I want you to be a last days preacher. And as I've shared before, I thought that meant I was supposed to teach prophecy. But my ministry never went in that direction. Quite honestly, I never studied prophecy a whole lot. I was more into evangelism, reaching people for Jesus Christ. And then one day, as I asked God, why did you say a last days preacher? And basically, it was like he slapped me upside the head and said, I said, last days. Get it? Last days. And I truly believe we are living in the last days. Not only me, but a number of other God-fearing men of God and women of God that are believing that we're in the last days. We're in the final hours. We're in the countdown. Some are eagerly waiting for the rapture of the church to take place. And as we've watched the signs that are taking place and seeing fulfillment of prophecy that's happening right before our very eyes, even as I've been reading in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Jeremiah, I see things that Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesied to the children of Israel as things were happening and they were going to be taken captive into the land of Babylon, and the message that God gave them. But I also see the church world of today doing some of those same things. I also see America of today doing some of the same things that Israel and Judah did in those days that brought about the punishments and the things that happened to their nation and to their people because they turned their back on God. And I want you to look around today, my friend. The world as a whole is turning its back on God. Oh, they've got other things that they feel are more important. But God, we'll wait to the last minute for that. Even right now, there are those who debate things about the second coming and the rapture of the church. Some debate pre-trib rapture, that the rapture will take place prior to the tribulation that's spoken of in the book of Revelations. Others teach it'll be mid-trib, it will be halfway through, and that we'll be taken out at that point. And some even believe that it's going to be post-trib, that the rapture will take place at the end of the, just as the tribulation period is coming to an end, we'll be raptured up and make a U-turn right then in the air and come back with Jesus at the second coming. I want you to know, my friend, the rapture and the second coming are two separate, distinct events. Now, I think if you've listened to me, you know that my view is pre-trib. And you know that I also believe that Scripture supports it, and I believe that it could take place at any time. I have believed all my life it could take place in my lifetime. And at my age, it will be a whole lot longer if it does that. Today, I want you to think about this. Today could be my last day. How many of you have thought about that? Today could be my last day. Many times we go on like there's no end in sight. There's tomorrow after tomorrow after tomorrow after tomorrow. There's that long, drawn-out future. And I know young people especially, oh, I've got years ahead of me. I've got a long time to go. But there's no guarantee of tomorrow. You know, when we were young, time seems to pass so slowly. I've thought often about my elementary school years. And it seemed like that 9 months of school was more like 9 years of school. And that the 3 months of summer vacation were at least 6 months long, was so drawn out, it seemed like the time would never come that those 12 years of public education would never come to an end. And then one day I graduated from high school, and time suddenly begins to pick up and begin to move more swiftly. And the older you get, the more you notice time moves quite swiftly. Now it seems to be in a rush. It's almost like it's in a blur. I know somewhere there's someone listening. Somewhere in the world, as I speak these words, as I deliver this message, there's a 20-year-old person who's going to get up with great plans for the day and for the future. But before the day is ended, without warning, their time will be up, and they will be in eternity. If they were right with God, if they had accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, They'll go to be with Him for all eternity. If they have not done so, they will forever be lost. There is no hope. There is no future. Time will cease for them. I know we're told, and I've preached messages on it, that we'll all stand before God. A lot of people don't stop to think about that. They stop, well, if you're a Christian, you're going to come before God because you're going to heaven. But if you're not a Christian, the Bible tells us we're also going to stand before God someday and give account of what we did in this earthly life. There are two judgments the Bible tells us about, one called the judgment seat of Christ, which is the one that Christians, those that are born again, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the rewards that God has for them. The other is the final judgment, the great white throne judgment. And only those who do not have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will stand before Him in that judgment. I want you to think about it. Two judgments. Which one are you going to stand in? One where you're getting the rewards that God has for you, or one where judgment will be passed and the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you," will be uttered. What determines which one we will stand in is our spiritual state at the time, our moment, in this life, in this time is up. Now I know that there are some that will say, well, I want to live and have a good time as I live my life. I want to party hardy. I want to do all that I can do. And just before my time runs out, I'll give my life to God and I'll accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And yes, deathbed conversions do happen. There are people who at the last moment of their life will give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. But as a whole, I wouldn't count on you being able to do that. What about the 20-year-old I just mentioned? Suddenly, without warning, their time was up. And that's the way it happens a lot of times, especially to younger people. It's without warning. It's without notice. So when is the right time? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I want to read this also from the Holman Christian Standard Bible because the English is a little more clear. "For he says, I heard you in an acceptable time, and I helped you in the day of salvation. Look, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." This is the time. This is the hour. This is the moment. Jesus tells us in His Word, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You can pray to Buddha all you want, but it's not going to work. You can pray to Confucius all you want, but it's not going to work. You can pray to Muhammad all you want, but sorry, it's not going to work. Only in the name of Jesus can we be saved. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Then he goes on in Romans 10, 13 and says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That, my friend, is the only way. Calling upon the name of the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now maybe you're listening to me right now and you don't have a Bible with you, but you're listening to me on the internet. Go to our website. The announcer is going to give that website address in a moment. There's a page on there called Salvation Scriptures. And you could go on there and you can read these scriptures. When you see the scripture, click on it. It'll give you a variety of translations you can use as well to read that scripture if something's more clear to you. But call upon the name of the Lord. We're going to pray. Father, as I come before you right now in the name of Jesus, I ask, Father, there are those that might be listening to me wherever they're at, whatever day it is, whatever hour it is that they're listening to this message, and they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But now the Holy Spirit has convicted them, spoken to their heart. And as they ask Jesus to come into their heart and to cleanse their life, I ask, Father, that you would become real to them right now, Father, in Jesus' name. And let me say to you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as you've listened to this program today, I want to be the first to say to you, welcome to the family. And I want you to remember what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, as we read one more time. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let me say, my friend, if you've accepted Jesus Christ today as a result of this message, we may never meet here on this earth, in this world. But hey, stop by my mansion someday. I'll be glad to see you.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.